Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And he loves you.
Truly, Pastor C. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Praise God. It's good to be back on another Thursday in the DMV, and we thank God for allowing us to see another week. I know a lot of people I know today and this week are suffering with that old pollen allergy. A lot of sniffling, a lot of coughing and sneezing and stuff, and you know that spring is here, and we enjoy the great weather and all the flowers and trees and blossoms, but some of us have some of those allergies, so we thank God that he has allowed us to be able to muddle our way through, but it's beautiful, and we thank God for his beauty. I know on last week we were talking about the solar eclipse and how it shows God's intelligent design, and as you look around and you see the seasons and the buds and the blooms and the flowers and all of the creatures that are starting to come out, that all of nature is praising God. And when we look at the second chapter of the book of Romans, Sheila G, it just comes out and says that, you know, if you just look around, you can see that there's an intelligent creator, because you can see that there is a God, and you just have to open your eyes from the very things of nature. So he says in that chapter 2, he starts off, there's no excuse, and people can make excuses up for why they won't act up and do their own thing and not acknowledge God for who he is, but all you have to do is look around. Sheila G.
Amen. You can look around and see, if you have the peace of God, no matter what the situation is, you're okay. And if not, then it's 10 times worse. I was watching on the news, speaking of God's things that are beyond what we understand. And Dubai, which is one of the richest places in the world, where all the oil comes from and all these princes and kings and all these luxury cars and hotels, this past week had 10 years worth of rain come down in one day and just flooded the whole city, all the high rises, And the people there were saying that they've never seen anything like this, and they were talking about how all these luxury cars were being swept away. And I, as I was watching it, I was thinking about that is the problem with man putting so much stock or so much confidence in manly things versus godly things, because those things can be washed away. And each person that they talk to said that they've never seen anything like it, and they can't explain it. But it's God. And if we don't trust in that human being that we don't understand, those things will happen. You'll have all these confidence that things are here, and then one day, 10 years' worth of rain dropped in one day and just basically washed out and flooded the whole city.
Amen. Amen. We're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow down and thank you for another privilege and opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. But Dr. G, on last week, we ended up on chapter 2 of the book of Romans, verse 11, where we talked about, for God does not show favoritism. And basically, Paul was challenging the Jews and the Gentiles to act like they know God or to act like they want to choose life and letting them know that There is a God that's going to judge faithfully between the Jews and the Gentiles, because there was this thing where the Jews thought they were one thing, the Gentiles thought they were one thing. The Jews thought they were more enamored to God because, you know, God made them the people where he decided to use to be an example and gave them the word. But some kind of way they felt they were better than the Gentiles. And the Gentiles used the excuse that, you know, the Jews acted a certain way. That's why they couldn't act godly. And so everybody was pointing a finger at each other instead of turning to God. And, you know, Paul ended up in that verse 11, for God does not show favoritism. And in the King James, it says, for there is no respect of person with God. And we have to get to a point or a place where we who are the creation have to understand that God created the whole world and everybody in the world. And if God so loved the world, as in John 3:16 says, that we have an obligation to carry out those great commands. Jesus said there too, to love God and to love your neighbor. And it says all of the commandments hinge on these two things. And so if God gave that commandment and God loves us, whether you're Jew or Gentile, whether you've been given the word as God's people, or if you are a Gentile, just by the very nature that you're here and made in his image, then you also should give God the glory. But I think man, too many times we have our favorites and favoritism. And I know last week we were talking about we'll complain about anybody. The short people complain about the tall people complain about the short people, the fat folk complain about the skinny folk, and the light-skinned folk complain about the dark-skinned folk, and folk got good hair complain about folk got bad hair. I never figured out what good hair was, though. It's curly, or they call it nappy, or all kind of stuff. The poor black folk talk about the rich black folk and call them bougie, and rich white folk talk about the poor black white folk, and vice versa, and you know, you get favoritism, and that's what causes schisms and isms in this world because man is always trying to say, well, I might be poor, but at least I'm not black and poor. I might be poor, at least I'm not, you know, white and poor. And you know, it's this whole back and forth all over the world of what about ism and see-ism, but God doesn't show favoritism. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And so clearly Paul is saying, you know, all of y'all need to get your act together And as we study Romans a little bit more, in Romans the third chapter and verse 23, God, you know, he says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So God does not show favoritism, and we who are the creation should definitely not be showing favoritism. Help me out, Dr. G.
Well, you're right. And if anything, we as Christians should really take heed of that that verse. I mean, when you go back into the Bible, especially the Old Testament, you look at how the Jews acted, you know, God chose them as his own people and gave them the law, but they wouldn't obey the law. And they thought more highly of themselves than they should have. Then when you fast forward into the New Testament, here come the Gentiles. Well, fast forward to where we are today, and we can still see the same kind of junk going on. And the beauty of it all is that it doesn't matter whether you're rich, like you said, or poor. You know, God is going to judge everybody according to their own merits, whether you're white, black, rich, poor, or whoever, Republicans, Democrats, Dubai, it doesn't matter. The Lord is going to judge folk according to their own merits. And really, we need to wake up and start understanding, as you and Sheila were talking in the beginning, there is a God. And if we can't see him at work right now, something is wrong.
Amen, amen. That was one of the things that in our sermon on Sunday, this past Sunday, people were talking about the attack on Israel and the, all the missiles and all the bombs that were going. And people were well, is this the end? Is this the end? But, you know, we instruct them to the word of God and in the book of Matthew. And, you know, clearly God knows that there are going to be wars and rumors of wars. And to calm our fears, that God says this is just the beginning, and you know the word of God. What happens is when these things occur, like you said, Sheila G, you saw things happen in Dubai. You knew that this shouldn't catch us by surprise because God said these things would happen. Yeah. But that is the danger of people not knowing the word.
Right.
That they don't live a life that when these things do happen that they're prepared, and we who have been blessed to receive the Holy Spirit, to receive the Word, we have a responsibility to live as if we have received the Word. In other words, we can't get the Word and act a fool, and so. The second part of this chapter talks about that you know you're a Jew in word only, not in your actions. And I think that's the biggest thing in this world that is a drawback to those who need to see the word. To hear the word, to see it represented, is that those people who have the word and should know better keep acting up. Help me out, Sheila G.
Amen. And we seem like we talk about it every Thursday, every Sunday school lesson, how we are, for some people, the only Bible that they will see. So it's one thing to talk the talk, but you got to walk that walk. And how often have we been out and just smiled and said hello to someone, and they just said there's something about you. And that's just an opportunity for them to see the goodness of the Lord. But a lot of times we'll take that, we'll go to church, be all dressed up, looking like a nice, good Christian in the building. But as soon as we come out of the building, something will happen that will cause us to get in our feelings and be in our emotions instead of walking by Christ, which is why every morning we have to put on that whole armor of God ready to do battle. Because just like we get up and we say our prayers, we read our daily bread, we listen to the word, Satan gets up and is planning, how can I mess up your day? And in doing that, he will try to mess up our day, which will have an impact on others, whereas we should be the opposite, to say, okay, come on, Satan, but I'm already covered by the word of God. You may be hurting my feelings emotionally, but spiritually, I'm stronger than that. So I'm going to run you out, as well as be the proper example for others to see how when things are a mess, when things aren't craziness, I can be calm, but that's not the calmness in me. It's the God in me that's allowing me to be calm.
Amen. Well said. That is so true, and that's the mindset that we have to have going forward, because life is filled with ups and downs. We have challenges all the time, and so we gotta keep that mindset. So let's look at Romans 2 and look at verse 12. It says, "All who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law, and all who sin under the law will be judged by the law." And the like Dr. G said, is whether you've been given the law or you don't have the law. And Paul's talking to the folks of Rome, the Jews of Rome and the Gentiles of Rome. He said, you're going to be judged by the word of God. it's not going to be an excuse. Everybody's going to have to stand before God and be judged by what his word says. And so in verse 13, it says, "For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous." And there it is, Dr. G. Paul didn't make it difficult. God didn't make it difficult. In other words, you can't be perpetrating the fraud. And too many times in the believer's walk, there are instances of believers perpetrating the fraud. In other words, they're saying one thing and living another thing. And I find, Dr. G, that particularly with young people, that turns them off. You could short cycle, or you can stunt or become a stumbling block for a young person just because they're trusting, they're believing, they're thinking as an adult you should know better and do better. And they're looking at you, and then there you go stumbling and falling, blue, 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 you know, saying do as I say and not as I do. And as a immature or a person growing, young in their faith, they see that behavior, and then that gives them a setback. And so we have to be very careful in our walk to understand that God is looking for those who obey the law. I believe it was James in his letter said, don't be just a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. And this is what Paul is explaining to them, that don't get caught up on what your title is, but get caught up on doing the things that are pleasing in the sight of God. Help me out, Dr. G.
Well, you're right. And that was one of the things that bothered me when I went to New Birth in the beginning. You know, all these holier-than-thou folk, the ones that were the deacons and could quote scripture, they had run all of the young people out of the church with that foolishness. And it took a while before we could really pull other young people in. But the damage had already been done. And so, you know, we live in a day and time now where, as you and Sheila were saying, you know, we can't just quote scripture. We've got to let the scripture shine through us. And that's why, you know, at Newbro, we take a little bit extra time with Sunday school, because people need to understand, you know, what the lesson is all about. We try to break it down so that the little can understand it. You know, Christians they kill me with that stuff. You know, they go to church, blah, blah, whatever. Now they put all this stuff on social media. But the question is, are they really living that life that they talk about?
That's so true, but the word makes it plain that you know, it's the ones that obey the law that will be declared righteous. So if we go to verse 14 in the NIV, it says, "Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law." In other words, if you're doing what's right, right is right, you know.
Yep.
And you don't have to have a law that tells you you're right. You know what's right. And you know, if you look at studies where you see toddlers, and you see one toddler climb up on a cushion or a chair or something, and another toddler is trying to get up there, there's another toddler that's seeing them will come and actually just out of natural instinct will help push that other toddler up on the chair. It's like there's a natural thing where this toddler would help that one out. And that's just a natural instinct, Sheila G, and no one had to teach them that. But there was some good in that one, trying to help out a fellow toddler. And it was, in this example, it was a black toddler helping out a white toddler and a white toddler helping out a black toddler. So, you know, racism is taught for the most part. Behavior is taught for the most part. Bad behavior is in contrast with good behavior. So people can look at the young people and see that by nature, when they're innocent, that they can do the right thing without someone telling them. Help me out, Julie.
Hey, man, it's interesting that you see that, because that you say that about the toddlers. Because in the morning, on the mornings when both Aria and Parker are here, before Parker goes across the street to daycare, it's funny to see how Parker helps out Aria, and she's like one, and he's going to be three, to the point that based off his behavior, he knows that there's things that Pop-Pop said don't touch, and Billy will tell him, no, don't touch that. And he's gotten in trouble for it, so that when he sees Aria about to do it, like to pull something down or whatever, he'll actually politely kind of correct her to keep her from doing it, to that point of behavior being learned. Or if she'll cry, he'll go over and pat her on the back and give him a hug. And they didn't even like grow up in the same house together, but it is like you said, that childlike behavior, that character being built to care one for the other.
Amen. And so you know, God is breaking it down, and he's letting us know it's you know, you don't have to have this law to do right. And he's trying to let the Jews know that, you know, just because you have the law doesn't mean that you can live any old kind of way. And so if you go on to verse 15, Romans chapter 2, verse 15, it says, they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them and other times even defending them. And so, you know, they have the ability to say this is right, that's wrong. You know, the Bible and Jesus' teachings, He doesn't give, if his son asks for bread, he doesn't give him a stone. He gives him bread. So even folks that are not saved know how to do right, it's something in their heart. And if your heart and your mind are right with God, then you know, that is put you in a better situation than someone that has the word and don't even, you know, deal with the word or do the word. And in verse 16, it says, this will take place on the day when God judges people's secret thoughts, judge secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares. So again, like we were saying, as man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. And so people's secrets in their heart, God will judge. And so God is the one that's going to judge who's righteous or who's not righteous. And that's the part that should really bring people to a high attention alert, that I can't look over there and look at you and judge you, and you can't look at me and judge me, because God's going to judge what's in my heart and God's going to judge what's in your heart. And so we have to be cognizant of the fact that we might be at a fool man, because some people can act pretty cool and pretty good. And you can fool me. But rest assured, you can't fool God, because God knows people's secret thoughts. And as Paul says, as my gospel declares, and that's what I love about Paul. As Paul said, the word gonna find you out. You can run, but you can't hide. The word is gonna find you out. So you can, you know, act fool and pretend and blame everybody under the sun, but ultimately, through Jesus Christ, the gospel is gonna find you out. Help me out, Sheila G.
And the thing about the scripture, the fact that he says it's written in your heart and in your conscience, you can't pull that saying, well, I didn't know. You know, you can't say, well, I didn't know. Like we were saying, a child may not know better, but even they eventually know. But because it's in our heart, because it's in your conscience, you know when you're doing wrong. You know when you're being sneaky and conniving. And you know when you hurt people. You know, we have that expression of, you know, some people do some really crooked stuff at work, but I can never do it because at the end of the day, I have to be able to look myself in the mirror. Because when you are by yourself or when you're doing those things, you know in your heart, like it says there, and in your conscience, that little voice is saying, you know you shouldn't act like that. So you need to apologize, or you know all these people are getting ready to do this. Don't follow the crowd. So even God gives us the opportunity where he speaks to us, gives us that heart, gives us that conscience so that we can make that choice to do right or wrong. So when we're judged, we can't say, I didn't know any better, back to the whole thing about excuses. The other thing that I find is that we try to depend too much on other people to validate us. And that's one mm-hmm. thing that I think we really need to focus on, because it's really been on my mind a lot lately that people mm-hmm. think other people are supposed to make them happy. So when those people let them down, they're like moping. But it's like if you have that relationship with God, you're not dependent on other people to make you happy, because God will give you that trust. He will put it in your heart. He will give you that strength to do what you need to do. And then you just have peace. It's an unbelievable peace. And
yeah.
I find
yeah.
I've been telling that to a lot of young women, because they tend to want a man to make them happy, or vice versa,
mm-hmm.
that, well, this person is not making me happy, and I'm supposed to be this. And it's like, well, wait a minute. You need to date the Lord first. That way, because if you date the Lord, he will give you peace in an unhappy situation. So that you're not dependent on another person to make you happy. And that's where that heart, that's where that conscience comes. Because you know the Lord will tell you, you know what, you're trying too hard with this one. You need to back off, let me handle it, and then trust in me. But I'm trying to push that more and more to the men too. But really I see that in our young women, that we need to stand up and trust God and not try to rely so much on someone else to make us happy. But it's about their heart, about their conscience, that relationship with God. So when he comes to judge you, you already know. You know when we were kids and we did something wrong and dad would
That's
come
right.
home and you knew you were going to get a whipping, because you knew you did what you did. And all was bad, but your bag is home. It's the same thing. You can't say when you're judged by the Lord, oh, I didn't know I was wrong. I didn't know I was out of character. I didn't know I was hurting people. Yes, you did.
Amen. Dr. G, you want to follow up on that?
And you know, it goes back to the same old thing that I've been telling people for a while now, that you've got to have your own personal relationship with the Lord. That's the only way that you're going to feel the type of feelings that the Sheila was talking about, to know, you know, when the Lord can convict you to the point that you know you were wrong. Most folk, and I hate to say it, don't have that type of relationship with God. So if they did feel that way, they just toss it away. They really don't care. But it goes back. We have to make those choices. And one other thing that I find is real, you know, people have got to understand, you cannot worship God for somebody else. I worship God for me. I go to church for me. I would love for my kids to all be there and do all of that. It's a personal thing between them and the Lord.
Amen. Amen. And I like that personal relationship. And I have to use that one, Sheila G, when you talk about date God first. That's powerful for men and women, especially young folk. And then Dr. G, you know, you gotta know God for yourself. And, you know, that word conscious in the heart, and you know, when you have a consciousness of God and your heart is right with God, you'll be convicted when you're doing wrong. And that's the thing, is knowing that we live in this flesh. And again, all of us sin and come short of the glory of God. But if you have the conviction of the Holy Spirit inside of you, your conscience will beat you down. If you know you done messed up, you ain't fessed up, you ain't asked for forgiveness, you ain't going to somebody and try to get that thing straight. And a lot of times the enemy will try to come in and tell you, don't worry about that. They did so-and-so to you. They did so-and-so to you. And you have a right to stay mad. But God says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And what you find out is through life experience with God is that the sooner you ask for forgiveness of that person or get that thing straight, you feel so much better. It's like a weight has been lifted off of you. You don't have the burden of sin. I like that song where it says, would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Yeah.
Would you live daily evil to victory to win? It's power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And so God can give you that forgiveness, give you that forgiveness of sin. You no longer have that consciousness, and you know that you've forgiven, so you don't have to carry that burden. And a lot of times what people do is they carry that thing, Sheila G and Dr. G, in their conscience, but they don't know how to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And so because they don't know how to get rid of it, they don't know how to turn to God, they don't know how to ask forgiveness of sin, they try to self-medicate. They try drugs, they try alcohol, they try men, they try women, they try this thing, money and all these things, trying to self-medicate this burden that they're carrying, their consciousness of sin, and they don't know, or they haven't heard the word, and faith comes by hearing, hear the word of God, that you can be delivered from the power and the penalty of sin and have a new life in Christ. And until they try that thing, they are burdened down. But once your burden has been lifted, oh my God, and you know how to go to the Lord in prayer and ask for forgiveness and speak His word and live His word and go to your fellow man and say, hey, I was wrong, I messed up, forgive me, you know, and experience that freedom. And it all comes from the knowing the truth of the word of God. The scripture says you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. And there's nothing like having being free from the power and the penalty of sin. Help me out, Sheila G.
Yes, sin and confusion, because that's what the devil will confuse you. And you get caught up to your point of self-medicate. That's how depression comes in. That's how we have physical ailments, because we're like trying to figure things out on our own and not trusting God and not taking our burdens, here to another song, to the Lord and leaving it there. You take that burden to Him, you leave it there, then you will have peace. But a lot of times we'll pick it right back up.
Uh-oh.
And that's that. Something will trigger it. And God's like, yeah, let it go. Just let it go. Keep it moving, trust in me, then whatsoever state you're in, you can be content. Being content is separate from being happy. Then you can have the joy of the Lord in an unhappy situation because you have that relationship with Him. But we got to learn how to let stuff go when things aren't right, when we're in our flesh not happy. Go to God. God will take care of it. God will give you peace. He will lead, God, direct your path. He will let you know if you need to change your behavior, change your behavior. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like having the peace of God, knowing that He's right there with you, knowing that when you mess up, all you got to do is fess up, take that burden to Him, and keep it moving.
Amen, amen. And it's one of those things, like Dr. G was saying, he goes to worship for himself. And we have to understand what the power of worship does for us in our flesh, because we live in the flesh. But when you're in the mode of worship, what happens is the Spirit of God that's in you connects with the Holy Spirit that is in all of us. And so in a individual worship, in a corporate worship, we're in the presence of God. What I say is God gives a breath exchange.
Yeah.
So what happens is when you're in that corporate worship, or you're in worship with God, the Holy Spirit that's in you has searched your heart. Mm-hmm. And knows what's bothering you. Listen to what I'm saying, that. The Holy Spirit will search your heart and knows what's bothering you. Even though you can't articulate, the Bible says the Spirit makes moanings and groanings that can't be heard. And so that Spirit is communing with God's Spirit and letting the Spirit petition unto Jesus, who walked this life, who lived this life, who knows what it takes. And what happens is he'll take our problems, he'll take our burdens and remove them. And I like the Old Testament says, will give us beauty for ashes. In other words, he'll take this stuff that's burnt up and burden us down and take that ashes, and he'll give us beauty. In other words, it's a strength exchange. It's like we exchange our weakness for his strength.
That's right.
Don't go to worship, I'm meddling now. If you don't go to worship, you can't experience the strength exchange. Everybody wants strength. Everyone wants power. Everyone wants beauty. But nobody wants to enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter into his courts with praise. Nobody wants to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Nobody wants to come before his presence with singing. Nobody wants to know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who created us and we not ourselves. And God has an order, and he's not going to change that order. And so for you to get in his presence and your spirit, commune with his spirit and the other spirit of God around you, why he says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together so that you can help me and I can help you. And so what happens is people are missing out. Like Dr. G said, he come to worship for himself. He can't worship for nobody else. And so when I'm getting my strength exchanged and you're wondering, how can you keep it together? How can you keep moving? How can you keep pressing on? How can you keep enduring during time of pandemic, sickness, ups and downs? It's because I go to worship the way God says to go to worship. I'm looking forward to that strength exchange because if you get beat up, the devil will try to keep you down. But if you go before the Lord, good God Almighty. And you get that strength exchange. Lord have mercy. The Bible says, what a friend, the songwriter says, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. And so when you begin to start taking it to the Lord in prayer, when you worship, you'll say, man, I'm so glad I know a God that knows about me and can deal with my burdens. And when God removes and lifts that burden and that peace overflows, oh, my gosh, there's nothing like the anointing of God when you know that you have been delivered, when you have been set free, when he has made you free from whatever that ailment is. And I say all this to say your consciousness and your heart, God has his eye on. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the inward. He looks at the heart, and he knows what you need, and he'll give you exactly what you need when you need it, but you got to come his way. You can't. Jesus said, I'm the door. If you come any other way, you're a thief and a robber. So we got too many thieves and robbers out here, Dr. G. They're trying to get God, but they're coming in the wrong way. I'm meddling, Dr. G. Help me out. I'm meddling. Help me out, Doc.
You're doing a good job of it. You're right, because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by way of me. But people just don't get that. They want to half step here a little bit. Well, I'll come this Sunday, get what I can. And the bad part about it, they even come late. They don't even want to come in time to get the Sunday school, to get the word. They come late. They get a little bit here, and they think they've done something. Then what gets me are those that come late but then got to leave early.
Oh,
so
no.
People have to get serious about this thing, because if you bring it all to the Lord, then the Lord said, I got what you need, but you got to get it.
Yes. Sheila G.
It's an expression that my daughter Jessica loves to use, and I know it's kind of old expression where it says closed mouths don't get fed. She's been saying, using that a lot lately, and it's true. If you don't communicate, if you don't worship, if you don't trust in the Lord, if you don't put the work in to build that relationship, God's not going to feed you that spirit. You're going to starve, and you're going to be starving in this flesh, and life will kick your tail versus you having peace in the midst of chaos. And the closer you draw to the Lord, the more you can draw down. I love how you said you do that strength exchange. The more in the midst of chaos, when you're weak, you can be made strong through trusting in him. But how are you going to trust in something you don't know?
Hello.
You know, like we always use that thing, when you go to sit down on a chair, you trust in that it's not going to break. But some people don't even have much trust in God. You know, they have more trust in the chair that they're about to sit on than trust in the Lord with their entire life, so that when chaos starts to happen, they can't pull from that power source.
Amen. And you know, you got to understand where the power source is. Like I said, it's inside of you with the Holy Spirit that's in connection with God's Holy Spirit. And when you have that connection, you can go through all kind of seasons.
Yep.
But if you look at the word in Psalm 1, it says, blessed, and I'm reading King James Version, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's number one. You're not walking ungodly in the counsel of the ungodly. Number two, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, where you're walking and where you're standing. And then number three, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So your approach to God can't be, well, I'm walking this way ungodly, I'm standing in with sinners, and I'm sitting in the seat of the scornful. You can't receive that strength exchange because you're not lined up. Dr. G, it's like the combination, and many of us went to school where we had lockers in middle school, high school, whatever, and you had to get the first number right. Then you had to turn it to the left past the second number. Then you had to put it on that number. And then you had to turn it back right to the other number. And then it would unlock. But you could stand there all day trying to get in that locker, Dr. G. Sheila G. But if you know the numbers but don't know how to apply it right, you're not going to get in. And so if you have too many people trying to get in the locker, but they don't know how to use it right. And so God's word says, what I need you to do is understand your blessing is when you don't walk this way. Your blessing is not where if you don't stand with the sinners. Your blessing is where you don't sit with the scornful. And here it is, Dr. G. He says, but his delight is in the what? The law of the Lord. And Sheila G, here it goes. And in his law does he meditate when? Day and night. In other words, you can't be a fly by night.
Nope.
You got to apply this thing daily. And then here's the result. This is what's unlocking it. And then it says, and he shall be like a what? Tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his what? Season. His leaf also shall not wither. And this is the part I love. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. In other words, you're like this tree, but your roots go down. And even in the most difficult circumstance, because you're rooted and grounded in God, and that root underground goes into that water, that stream that nobody can see. Lord have mercy. That healing stream, that restorative stream. So where everybody else is wilting and withering and the leaves are falling, you're still prospering because you have been rooted and grounded in God, that you have a connection with God that nobody else sees. He says you'll be like a tree that's planted by the river's water. And you'll bring forth your fruit in the season. So whatever season it is, God will allow you to prosper. However, the contrast to that says the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation. Why? Though the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, what we're talking about in Romans. But the way of the ungodly, what, shall perish. Help me out, Dr. G.
Well, you know, you're right. And, you know, the scripture where Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden.
Heavy laden.
And, you know, the thing about this whole business with the Lord is that he's got everything that we need. He's got the power is there if you would connect it. He's got bread when we're hungry. He's got water when we're thirsty. But there's a part of us, you know, Satan, Lord reminds us that evil is always present. And
that's right.
We and our finite minds seem to, you know, we'll kind of be guided a little bit over towards the Lord's way when we can't make it. But then we'll come right back trying to do it our way. So we don't get all that we need from the Lord. You know, and I made up my mind a long time ago, you know, I'm not going to let anybody keep me from getting what I need from the Lord. If they want down and out, depressed, you know, I'm going to continue to preach, teach, counsel. I do whatever I can to help folk. But I know too much of what the Lord has done for me. I've seen too much. I was telling the church, look, I've been preaching over 50 years, pastoring, getting ready to hit 29. So you can't tell me what God can't do. And if people would just give him an opportunity. But, you know, they got an excuse, like what Paul was hitting at the day. But God is going to take all those excuses away.
Amen. Sheila G, you want to chime in on that?
Amen. I was, when you were talking about planted by in the rivers of water where things come, when our roots are that deep in the Lord, when things come our way, we are rooted in the Lord, and there's this phrase that God gave you about a little week ago. It was last week, as a matter of fact. And it's a part of one that I've always used anyway, but he added to it. And so I've been saying to myself that I'm pulling on my past victories, letting go of my past hurts and trusting God with my future. That's how you get rooted in the Lord, where you just 100%, because like you said, if you don't let go of your past hurts and you keep bringing that, you're blocking your blessings too, because, again, you're operating your feelings. If you pull on your past victories, you know, won't he do it? Just like he did it before, he's going to do it again. If you trust him in your future, then you don't worry about things that you can't control. So that is us giving, and that is me talking and walking with the Lord in me and my personal walk. If I do all of that, I can't do anything but trust him. And then when I trust him by pulling on my past victories, letting go of my past hurts, trusting him with my future, then I can be strong enough to deal with any chaos or anything that comes my way.
Amen, amen. That's awesome. And we thank God for his word and how the Holy Spirit uses the word to guide our hearts and our minds through this thing called life. And it's so important to have that relationship that we can trust God with that. And so let's ask that question tonight. Have you found it, or have you found that God can guide your heart and your mind through life circumstances, trusting God to guard your heart and your mind through life circumstances? And when you find out you can trust God to guard your heart and mind and lead you and guide you through life circumstances, you can find a peace even in the midst of the storm. You can be like that tree planted by the river's water that brings forth fruit in season. I'm going to go to our first caller. Last four digits, 1741, 1741. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Thank God tonight and give him the glory. Truly, he can give you that peace, that peace that no man can give you, that blessed assurance tonight. Praise God for that blessing tonight. And one of the songs that the Lord has blessed me with that I do daily and it's a couple that I do daily. And since I've started doing that, the Lord has really strengthened me through the Holy Spirit, and I thank God. And the word lived is a living word, and so I thank God for that blessing. And through prayer and faith and trusting Him, sometimes I might get a little wobbly there. But I have to talk to myself. I learned to talk to myself and talk to the Lord and reassure myself and, you know, look back on my past testimonies and what God has done for me, the past victories that God has brought me through. And I praise God for that. And these 77 years have been truly been a journey. It has been a learning experience, and I thank God for the journey. And I wouldn't trade it for nothing. Even with the bad days and the good days, I still praise God, because He's been mighty good unto me, and I give Him the glory tonight because of the things that He have done in my life, and He has brought me a mighty long ways. And He never ceases to amaze me, because just when I think I'm at the wit's end, he comes, He steps right in the nick of time.
Yes, He will.
And so that's my personal testimony tonight, that God has not failed me. He has not failed me, and He will never fail me, and I truly believe that. And years ago, Evangelist Gregory, when I separated from my ex-husband, and when I was going through that, and my son was young, and God was making changes in my life, and He started on my lunch hour. I would take my word and read it on my lunch hour and just spend time with the Lord. And I asked the Lord, I said, if you would just be my husband.
Yeah.
And God has not failed me.
Yeah.
He's been better than 100 husbands.
Come on now.
Everybody don't remarry. Some people do and some people don't. And I will not tell you that I didn't have some lonely times, but when I did, God showed me. He helped me and showed me how to occupy my time.
That's right.
And to dedicate myself to Him so that I could do the things that He wanted me to do. And when I first happened, I tried to have, friendships and relationships, but it didn't work out. And I had to ask God, just let me be what You want me to be. If You me to remarry, then let me remarry. But if You want me to serve You, then help me to serve You.
Amen.
Truly, He has not failed me. And
amen.
I thank God for the blessing. And it's only by His grace and through His strength that I can do the things that I do, not on my own will, not in my own power, but just through the power of the Holy Spirit and trusting God to bring me through.
Amen.
Yeah, amen, amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last 4 digits, 6309, 6309. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Amen.
Yeah. I believe, if you believe as I do, if you put your trust and your faith and your belief in Jesus, He is not going to fail you. And, a lot of times, right now to this time, I still get in my feelings. But the difference is I don't act on it like I used to, you see.
Yeah.
I ask God, I pray, I ask God, I look at a scripture or something, anything that I can do to keep me away from that. Yeah, because there's some more coming. It's going to always be there. But you have to learn how to recognize it. That's what it is and who it is, then you know how to deal with it. Because God teaches us to learn how to deal with him. It's up to us which way we're going to walk.
Right.
So, yes, I have faith and trust in Jesus because ain't nobody treated me in my life since I've been born the way Jesus had taken care of me. And I know who he is, and I know what he's capable of, and I know what he'll do. Because he done did it so many times before for me. So he never left me, and I have faith and trust in him. I'm going to wait on him, and like I said, yeah, I can still get upset sometimes, but I don't show up like I used to. But baby, no, honey, all of that's dead in the water. No, I don't have to do that because he fights my battles. He got my back.
That's right.
And I know it, and I understand it, and I believe it. And I believe and trust in him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 4580. 4580. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Loud and clear.
All right. Yes. Okay. It's good to be here on the conversation among our ministers here. I really appreciate it. God is real. That's, you know, that's number one. He's not fake. And I've learned this through my life experiences so far. First, I'd like to say that I promised myself during my shut-in time, especially when COVID started, that I was going to memorize the first psalm, the 23rd psalm, and the 100th psalm.
Yeah.
And Pastor Tony, you referred to them all, and so
did
Mr. G and Sheila. And but God worked in my life, and for example, you know, I was looking for someone, you know, to take me to one of my appointments, and I had just been told that the one I was depending on couldn't take me, and so the very next second, I get this call from a dear friend who used to take me. We hadn't communicated in 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And, so you know she volunteered to take me. And that's what I call God looking out for me.
Amen.
And he's just, and another thing I like to point out is this. When I go to God in prayer, which is many, many times during the day, the first thing I try to remember is this. God, if there's anything that I have done to offend you or any man, woman, or child, whether I was aware of it or not, please forgive me. And I ask that I'm very sorry, I can feel a burden lifted from my shoulders.
Yeah.
Just like he begins to listen to me, and there's a peace that comes over me, and it's a good thing. I just want to pass that on to you. The first thing, then I start praising God for who he is.
Yes. Yes.
And I ask in Jesus' name if he will forgive me after I repent. So I just wanted to share these few things with you. And thank you for the time to talk about my Lord and Savior.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comments tonight. Go to our next caller. The last four digits, 7. Looks like they just dropped off the line. We'll go to our next caller. Last four digits. 1712. Good evening.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Yeah, trusting God, and I wish I learned this a long time ago, and it's crazy. Trusting God is going to probably be the most difficult thing we as humans are going to be able to do, because you have to fully trust God. And just like our human relationships, how can you trust something or feel comfortable with something you don't know and you're a stranger to? And I think that's why so many people fail. And I know Sister Gregory always talks about it, leaning on your past victories, because that's because we recognize that was God in those victories. But so many times we feel it was us. We feel it was our friends. So we have nothing to lean on except experiences that went over our head, knowing that, hey, that wasn't me. That was God working. But again, if you're not in the Word, if you don't have a relationship mm-hmm. with Christ, you're never going to be able to build that trust. Because I know for me and maybe some of you, trust doesn't happen automatically, because you meet as strangers, you develop a relationship, you grow, and then trust grows with that relationship. So if you don't have a relationship with God, how are you just supposed to automatically trust someone or a process you don't know? And that's if you don't have a relationship with God. And for some of us that do, it's easy to trust God when you're familiar territory and you just say, oh, this will be okay, I'm going to trust the Lord. But what happens when you give Jesus the will and he's making a left turn when you want to keep straight, or you want to go faster, he's going slower, or he wants to go faster and you want to go slower, and you're sitting there looking like, well, what's going on? There's some uncertainty here. But it's like you have to fully trust God. Even when you see that, hey, things are working out, give it to God and trust God till the end. We want to interject. We want to say, okay, Jesus, give us the will back. And it's a very difficult thing, because in my life, when I found that I've trusted God, I'm uncomfortable through the whole process because God's ways are not like my ways. And it's like God sometimes tell me, like, well, if you want to do it your way and be comfortable and do it, that's fine. But if you're giving it to me, I'm going to, yes, take you through some things and you're going to grow through this process. But ultimately, it's going to work out in the end. But it's a very difficult thing to do because it goes against our human nature. Most of our lives, we make our own decisions. We control our own destiny. We do things. But when you turn it over to God, God is going to work it out. And it's very tough. So I know for me, being more consistent is my goal, because I'm never going to be perfect. I know that. But my goal is just to really try to be consistent with trusting God and allowing him to move in my life. Even when I'm like, God, I've had enough of this. It's been 4 weeks. When am I going to see some daylight? Still trust God. And I think while you're trusting God and going through the process, you better be in church. You better be in somebody's word. You better be doing something, because if you're not replenishing that faith and you're not replenishing that trust, you won't make it. And I'll be sitting here and tell you guys right now, there were times that I've trusted God. I never made it to the end because I gave up. I got scared. I said, no, I'm going to take it back and try to do it my way. And I failed miserably. So trying to fully trust God, it is a process. And I hear you all talk, and you guys are way more experienced in this Christian journey than I am. It's a thing that we got to do for the rest of our life. Every day you get up, you got to put that trust in God. And we've discussed this in Sunday school. Don't just put trust in God when you're going through something. Trust him when there's nothing going on. Trust him when there are good things going on. Trust is not just, or in faith, another word we use. Those aren't just words that you utilize when you're going through the storm. You better have those things readily available and working on them constantly. So when the storm comes, it's automatic. It's a knee-jerk reaction. Yeah. You know exactly what you have to do, and you know how to trust. But if you are not building that relationship with God and not getting in that word, you might as well be trusting a stranger. And I know none of us would want to do it, but that's literally how we are to God. If you don't know God and have a relationship, it's the equivalent of you trusting a stranger. And nobody would trust a stranger with anything. But we have to look at ourselves. We have to look in the mirror, and we have to ultimately look at ourselves to determine what's the type of relationship we have with God. Because if you constantly find yourself struggling with that, start at the source. Do I know God? Mm-hmm. Does God know me? Because if there's no relationship there, you're wasting your time. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We'll go to our next caller. Last 4 digits, 7611. 7611, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
It's just they have the faith in God. I'm out of 20 children. The first child that was born in the family is still here. The last child that was born in our family is still here. And we had to train all those in between those two years, to make sure that we trained them to try to do the right thing and say the right thing and trust in the Lord all the way through the day. And we stand. And my little sister always saying to them sometimes, saying, well, I just don't understand. I said, well, you just have to understand God. God understands us, and we are still hanging on, and we brought all the way try to train those that's coming on behind us to let us know and let them know where God is. And keep your heart always good, because God knows your heart all the way until we leave here. I want to say thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We have one more caller. Last four digits, 1718. 1718. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone. And thank God. I'm happy to be back on the line. The old folks say one more time. And I'll be
Amen.
Good tonight. And God knows, and I say God knows, I learned long, long time ago to put all my trust in God. He is the author and the finisher of our lives. And he can't nobody do it. Nobody do it like Jesus.
Amen.
When you know him for yourself, when you experience him for yourself and it's been so good to you, you don't even think no other way but God. But God. And he has answered so many prayers and brought me through so many different trials and tribulations. For my friends, my family, my children, my whole life, I have learned to have the must and trust him with everything, in the good times, in the bad times, whatever it might be. What a friend I have in Jesus. And I don't mind talking about it, and I don't mind telling the world about it. And when I see somebody else going in the wrong direction, I'll be the first one to pull that chain. And even with all of that, sometimes the devil will try to trip you up. I had it happen to me a few weeks ago. But I went to my pastor. I told him my story. He said, I'm not getting in there. I'm going to give you a scripture. I want you to read it. I want you to have it. I did exactly what he said. Won't he do it?
Yes, he will.
Yes, he will.
Won't he do it? Won't he do it?
Yes, he will.
I didn't go to the pastor's gossip. Pastor, I need some help here. I haven't done nothing wrong. And I know what I did was right. He said, I'm not getting in it. He said, I'm going to give you the scripture. Now you take it. That's what I'm talking about.
Amen.
You got to have a connection. Connection. Somebody that's going to connect you to the right thing and the right word. He referred me to God's word. Can't get no better than that.
Amen.
Who's going to argue with me? I trusted. I had enough faith to trust my spiritual leader, knowing that he's going to guide me in the right direction. Not my will, but God's yours. And I said that to say this. If you can't trust God, why are you in the circle of love?
Amen. That says it.
Why are you in the circle of love? If you can't trust him, that's all he asks. Your life's not yours. But I thank God, and I testified in church Sunday, from generation to generation, the blood of Jesus, the blood that flows from generation to generation, has proven to us as God's children, the Most High Priest, trusting. You don't have to say a lot of words if you love the Lord. Trust him. Take everything to God in prayer, not only for yourself, for your children, from generation to generation. You have to build them up. And my little Jessica, my Lord, a young smile on her face, trusting in the Lord. And it's so deeply rooted in her spirit,
mm-hmm.
it affected others. Like a friend of ours in our family said, I want what you got. She laid in the hospital, and she was so filled with the spirit of God. It affected other people. Yes. And that's what I do. I do nothing without praying about her. Ask Reverend. Ask Reverend Sight. I don't know it all, but I want to do it right. When I go to my father, I want to be right. Because I'm looking for what he says is mine. And if we do that, and you look it all up for yourself, and pass it on to the next one, it would be a better world that we live in. Because it's ours free. Won't cost you nothing. I love my Father who art in heaven. And he loves me. And I tell everybody on our family, he loves you unconditionally. Takes you as you are. And he can turn you into something only he can do the impossible. The miracles that he has performed in my life has been many, many, many. And I thank God he's given me breath to be able to testify and tell others the beauty of his holiness that he has planted, and not only in me, all of us on this line tonight. I'm listening here, but I never let go. I was so glad to be in church Sunday. They can have virtual. It's okay, but I like to be in the house of the Lord, talking to Jesus. But my answer to the question is, trust God.
Amen.
Read his word. Stop perpetrating the fraud. Because he knows if you're right, if you're true, or if you're wrong.
That's right. Amen.
He's going. He will be the one to judge you. And he will be the one to tell you, I don't know you. He will let you down gently, but you'll hate what you did when you lied to him. Don't lie to him. As my father said, don't lie to me. God said in his word, don't come to him with the lie. Come, be truthful. Be truthful. Be honest. Be a good soldier in the army of the Lord. Thank you all. So happy to be with you all tonight. God bless you. God bless you and everyone.
Amen.
I love you.
Love you.
Amen. Thank you for your comments tonight. Dr. G, I'm going to wrap it up tonight. Now you got an engagement on tomorrow evening, Dr. G. I believe it's GE Ministries. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock.
Yep.
You'll be the speaker. It's all about the word. And I believe the website on the ad is gemva.org. And I'm sure you can go there and get the information and tune in. It's a Zoom. They'll have a Zoom meeting ID and password. But if you get a chance, please, ma'am, please, sir, tune in tomorrow night, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Reverend Dr. William Gregory, the New Birth Baptist Church, will be bringing the word. It's all about the word. And so man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God, Matthew 4:4. And we'll pray, if you can't make it there, pray for the preacher and the ministry. The God will get the glory. Dr. G, you want to close us out again? That website is www.gemva.org. That's gemva.org. And it starts at 7 p.m. tomorrow night. Dr. G.
Amen. Thank you. Pastor C, we do give God all praise and thank him for all of the testimonies. And I think if we wrapped all of them up in one little bowl, Basically, the same thing that Brandon was saying, you've got to have that personal relationship with the Lord. And if you have that, then you learn how to trust and put your faith in him. But without that, you might as well just quit because you have nothing. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, O Lord, for just another evening that you've given us, O Lord, that we could spend some time with you in your word. Father, we thank you for Romans. We thank you for Paul, and we thank you for putting it plain. Oh, God, our Father, help us now. Pray that we've come away from here with some valuable stuff, some rich stuff that will help and help us as we walk this daily life. Father, we thank you for these that have called in and gone. Thank you for those that will call in later on. But, Lord God, we honor you tonight. Pray that you will continue to bless each and every one of us. And whatever your will is on tomorrow, Father, we pray that it will be done. For we do ask it all right now in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.